Hey there, sex fans, welcome back. Today is Monday, July 23rd, 2007, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge, with your host, Dr. Dick. That's me. Today's program is once again brought to you by Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library. You will find a link to this great resource right there on the front page of drdicksexadvice.com. You'll be able to watch all kinds of deliciously entertaining, enriching, and informative videos from the comfort of your own home. Schlepping out to the video store to pick up your smut is so last century. I have a really interesting show for you today, but before we begin, I'd like to remind you of the Lickety Split Sex Advice Podcast Voicemail Hotline at 866-422-5680. This is a free, no pressure, voicemail kind of setup. No human will answer your call, least of all me. So don't be shy, my pretties. I'm looking forward to hearing from you. What's that number again? 866-422-5680. Okay, on with the show. Today's first correspondent is Craig. He's 19, writes from Minneapolis. I decided that I'm gay, but I don't know how to tell anyone. I'm afraid that I'll lose my family and close friends. I come from a very religious family, and they'll never understand. I don't want to hurt them, but I want to be honest about who I am. Just wondering if you could help me. Coming out is never easy, or almost never, but having to do so to bigoted people makes things worse. There are a lot of different aspects to coming out. You've apparently laid the groundwork already by self-identifying yourself as gay. But how much do you know about gay history? Are you involved with your local gay community? You see, knowing that you belong to something bigger and stronger than yourself will enhance your queer identity. Coming out means both owning and valuing who you are and sharing that information with others. Unfortunately, it also means learning to deal with the hostility that many religious people have toward us gay folks. Of course, we can take some comfort from the fact that we are not alone. So many other segments of the population are marginalized and discounted because of their race, gender, age, religion, ethnic origin, you name it. Let's face it, pup, our culture doesn't do well with diversity. And you know what else? There's a whole lot of us who are marginalized and who are discriminated against, but who turn right around and discriminate against and marginalize others. It just breaks my heart. Hopefully you'll avoid the temptation to do that. Being different in our society is a double-edged sword. Obviously, it's a challenge to the status quo, but it also frees us up to trod a less traveled path. To compensate for the difficulties of being a minority, we get to define ourselves in ways that are unavailable to the dominant culture. But there is always the pull to sell out our uniqueness and conform. That's why I am of the mind that coming out is a lifelong process. Remember when I asked at the beginning if you knew your gay history? I did so because you will find positive role models in every era and endeavor of human history. And positive role models will help you achieve a positive sense of self. You'll also be able to refute those around you who will try to label you as sick or sinful. Loads of gay women and men have enriched civilization through science, religion, music, politics, art, theater, sports, and literature, just to name a few. Long before you and I showed up on the scene, they were paving the way for the freedoms and tolerance we currently enjoy. However, you're going to have to do some research on your own, pup, because the dominant culture suppresses queer history. This often leaves those who are just coming out feeling isolated, alone, and unsure of themselves. Fear of rejection from the dominant culture is greatest for those who don't know that they belong to something bigger and stronger than themselves, a force that has contributed to making humankind civilized. Owning your own sexual identity and integrating it into your overall sense of self is the first step of coming out. You probably know this already, but your sexual preferences are just a small part of who you are. It is indeed a big and important part, one that will probably color much of what else you say about yourself, but it is not necessarily the defining aspect that some would make it out to be. In this instance, gay folks are not all that different from anyone else who is awakening to their sexuality. I don't suppose any of us ever really feel free of our own internalized homophobia, any more than other oppressed and marginalized minorities can rid themselves of their internalized self-doubt. No one can completely escape the prejudice and biases that surround them. But most of us make our way regardless. That's why coming out is so important. It empowers us. It increases our self-esteem. Honesty about our life increases our personal integrity. And when we stop hiding or denying this important part of our life, we have a greater freedom of self-expression. We become more available for happy, healthy, and honest relationships. Coming out to others comes next. Remember, I asked you at the beginning if you were involved with your local gay community? If you're not, it's high time you got hooked up. Practice your coming out skills with other gay and lesbian people. Coming out to those who are more likely to be supportive will make this phase a whole lot easier. And in doing so, you will be creating a natural support system of friends who will be your gay family. You will also find there are helpful resources, including support groups, switchboard, gay churches, social outlets, and political and cultural activities and organizations. Once you've honed your coming out skills with your queer community, you will be ready to move on to straight folks. This will probably be a mixed bag. Some, particularly younger people, won't give a shit. Older people may have a lot of shit to give. The best advice I can give you is the same advice I received from my gay elders when I was coming out at about your age. Make your coming out a celebration. Listen, if you carry your hat in your hand, shuffle your feet, and look all dejected when you make your announcement, your audience will have little choice but to receive the information as bad or troubling news. However, if you stand right up and look the person in the eye and tell him or her that you have some wonderful news to share with them, you will be giving your audience a running start on receiving the information as good news. Besides, a positive presentation will help short-circuit some of the shock and confusion they may initially have. Expect that most straight folks, particularly those of a religious bent, will need some time to get used to the idea of you being queer. And as you suggest, it is quite possible that some straight family members or friends might reject you initially. But it's not the end of the world, and lots of people, even some religious folks, come around in their own sweet time. Coming out to others will be a more positive experience if you're comfortable in your own skin. Hopefully, you're not overly dependent on others for your sense of self. A tall order for someone of your tender age and background. But remember, you are not alone. Thousands of people, young and old, from every corner of the world are making their first tentative steps out of the closet right this minute. Some will do so gracefully and be successful, others will falter, get scared, and scurry back into the closet. Success may ultimately be dependent on controlling as much as possible the time and place you come out. Coming out at Grandpa's funeral may not be the ideal time. If you out yourself, as opposed to being outed by someone else, you're more likely to be successful. Being able to judge the receptiveness of your audience is really important. The best time for you might not necessarily be the best time for the person you're about to tell. So if Mom has a migraine, maybe it's not such a good idea to tell her that you're a big fat flamer. Be prepared for a negative reaction from some people. Others will have you figured out long before you've figured out yourself. Give everyone the time and space he or she needs to work through the news. And have some supportive friends available to talk things through afterward. If you do your best to bring the news in a life-affirming way, and your audience still rejects you, that's not your fault. Nor does it make them right. You have the right to be who you are. You have the right to be out, proud, and open about all aspects of your life, including your sexuality. Never let people unable to accept that, even if they are family, diminish your self-worth. Coming out might be difficult, but it's also very rewarding. Coming out affirms your dignity as well as underscores the dignity of other queer folk. Finally, never take for granted the freedom and tolerance the dominant culture begrudgingly gives us. It is only through our vigilance and political action that we secure our rightful place in society. Good luck! Hey, Dr. Dick, what is that toll-free podcast voicemail telephone number? Why, it's 866-422-5680. Don't be shy. Let it fly. Next, we hear from Alva. She's 40 and writes from New Mexico. It's been over 6 years since I had sex. My husband of 12 years died of cancer 5 years ago. There was no sex in our relationship the last year of his life. He was the love of my life, and I still miss him so much. I would like to get back into the swing of things, I just don't know how. My friends tell me I should get on with my life. They tell me I'm still an attractive woman and that I'm wasting my life. Sometimes they badger me so that I don't want to be around them. Maybe there's something wrong with me. Maybe I'm dead inside. Why can't I just move on? You raise some very interesting issues, Alva. Concerns that are often ignored or misdiagnosed by healing and helping professionals. Grief has a profound effect on every aspect of our lives. Yet there is hardly any literature on the effects grief has on our sexuality. To my mind, grief is the leading cause of sexual dysfunction for those who have experienced a death of a loved one. And you, my dear, present some of the classic symptoms: indecision, self-doubt, lack of libido, a desire to isolate. Before I continue, I want to underscore that grief is not depression. Treating grief with an antidepressant is counterproductive. It can actually take away the impetus to resolve the grief and get on with the rest of one's life. Now, is 6 years of grieving enough? Apparently your friends think so, and that might indicate that at least some of your grief is unresolved. Well, what do you think? Would reviving your sex life sully the memory of your dear departed husband? I believe it's time for you to bring this concern to a professional for some help. I suggest that you get some therapy from someone who is well-versed in both sexuality and grief counseling. I say this not because I'm siding with your friends, but because you yourself identify this as a problem. What could a counselor do for you, you might ask? Well, I can only speak for myself and the work that I do in my own practice. A good portion of my practice is with sick and dying people and their family and friends who survive them. I know the impact a terminal illness and dying process can have on the surviving spouse or partner. We often go into survival mode, shutting down so much of ourselves in an effort to have the strength to cope with this life-altering experience. Of course, trying to kickstart our lives afterwards is often a monumental effort. Without the support and guidance of a professional or a group of similarly challenged people, some of us just sink to the lowest common denominator and stopped fully functioning. Traumatic events in our lives can radically shift us out of living mode into a merely surviving mode. And if this goes on for a long time, and 6 years is a very long time in my opinion, surviving mode begins to feel like living mode. But it's not. Good thing we have friends to tell us when we are off course. You are right to say that sometimes the interventions of our friends can feel like badgering, and I know that's not helpful. But how else are they going to convey their continued concern for your well-being? I believe in the resilience of the human spirit. I believe that we can honor our dead and continue to live and love. Now, it's true that some animals, even some humans, mate for life. And when the mate dies, there's never any mating again. However, this doesn't sound like you, Alva. It sounds to me like you have a desire to get on with your life, to fill the void, to make new connections, but you simply don't know how. Acknowledging that fact is a real good place to begin. Perhaps you could start by reawakening your sexuality through self-pleasuring. Reconnect with your body and the joy it can bring you. 6 years is a long time to be without, so starting it up again may take some effort. While you're working on resolving your grief in a grief support group, you might want to connect with another group member who will no doubt be experiencing much the same things you are. You could explore your sexuality together. Reestablishing a social life will no doubt follow, slowly at first. But the inevitable tug of the need for human-to-human contact will draw you, if you let it. Remember, the best testament to those who have died is to continue to celebrate life itself. Good luck. Next, we hear from Paige. She's a female, 22, from Tulsa, Oklahoma. I'm engaged to a wonderful guy. I'm excited about my upcoming marriage, but I'm also afraid that it will fail. I know you are going to think we're freaks, but my fiancé and I have decided to save ourselves for after we are married. Some of our friends, even our recently married friends, are having trouble with their relationships. And with the divorce rate so high, what are the chances that my marriage will work? Do I just have cold feet, or am I not ready to get married? First off, I don't think you are a freak for reserving full sexual expression until after you're married. It wasn't too long ago when that sort of thing was the norm. And as you say, even though nowadays most people enter marriage as established sex partners, that alone doesn't seem to ensure a marriage will be a success. So, okay, if a successful marriage is not dependent on sexual experience, what does it take to make a marriage work? Hell, if I knew that, I'd bottle it and make myself a fortune. Let's just say you are the marrying kind, and that you are simply experiencing cold feet like every bride and groom-to-be does. Let's say that you and your fiancé have made the right choice for you to enter your marriage as virgins. What next? Possibly you need to jettison the Pollyanna notion that marriage is a breeze. Your recently married friends are having problems because there are always problems in a marriage. It's the nature of relationships. Hopefully, the problems you guys will face won't be insurmountable, but sure as shootin' problems will be your constant companions, even big problems. So count on it, and prepare yourself accordingly. If you have an unwavering commitment to one another, to do whatever it takes to make your overall relationship work, you'll probably be okay. Being sexually unfamiliar with one another may be a liability, or it might be an asset. One thing for sure, if you guys begin to have problems with the whole sex thing, as often happens for newlyweds, get help right away. There should be no shame or embarrassment about that. In fact, you might want to be proactive and start looking around for sexual enrichment courses or videos to help you grow together as lovers. Great sex is dependent on mutuality. Be sure your partner knows he or she is loved, appreciated, and respected. One of you may discover that he or she has a stronger libido than the other. That's pretty common. Deal with this immediately, and like adults. Don't wait for your relationship to go broken. Accommodations and compromise are always necessary in seeking the common good, and people come to compromise and accommodation through effective communication. If you don't know how to do that, your relationship is doomed. Passion is not a dirty word, nor is sexual expression a sin. If you have religious scruples about enjoying your body and that of your fiancé, you're headed for trouble. Boredom in the bedroom, particularly for newlyweds, is a recipe for disaster. Saving yourself for your wedding night does not preclude you being well-versed in self-pleasuring. In fact, the more you know about your body and the mysteries of your sexual response cycle, the smoother things will go for the both of you on your wedding night. Nowadays, there is absolutely no good reason for anyone to come to his or her marriage bed uninformed about sex in general and his or her sexuality in particular. Like I said, mutuality is the key. And since we all evolve sexually, both of you will need to grow right along with one another. Make your sex play an adventure. Never hesitate to check in with one another to see how the pleasure thing is going. What worked last time is not necessarily going to work now. Spontaneity is always a good thing. Traditional marriage doesn't mean that you have to be stodgy. Both of you need to take responsibility for seeing that your intimacy needs are being met. Sometimes that will involve fucking like bunnies. Other times it will mean vegging out in front of the boob tube with a fist full of Haagen-Dazs. Again, communication is key. Openness and honesty about your most secret sexual desires and needs is essential. Can't trust your partner with your secrets? You oughtn't be married to him or her. Take responsibility for your own sexuality. Ask for what you need, but don't neglect caring for yourself. Seek your partner's pleasure before your own. This is particularly important for the male partner. If you become too busy to celebrate your sexuality together, you are indeed too fucking busy. Prioritize your life with your partner at its center. There's a fundamental difference between making love and fucking. Both have their place in a healthy marriage. And there ought to be room for solitary sex, too. Everyone is entitled to privacy and private time, especially in a marriage. Have some creativity about your sexual expression. toys, fantasy, role-playing, they're all good. Don't be afraid to experiment. Attend to making your sex play spaces fit the mood, romantic to down and dirty. One size does not fit all, if you catch my drift. If you plan to go to seed once you're married, you can be assured that the fire will go out just as soon as you do. Stay in shape, get plenty of exercise, and keep yourself attractive to your partner. Pay attention to your personal hygiene. No one wants to bump somebody with a smelly body or bad breath. Make sure your partner is fully aroused before full-on fucking. And remember, sex is way more than the old in and out. Finally, have a sense of humor about the whole thing. It'll help take the edge off. Good luck! Hey, Dr. Dick, what is that toll-free podcast voicemail telephone number? Why, it's 866-422-5680. Again, 866-422-5680. Finally, today we hear from David. He's 36, from Iowa. Dear Dr. Dick, I am a 36-year-old male. I have come clean with myself and my family about my sexuality about 2 years ago. But before then, I was very much in the closet about my sexuality, not only to friends and family, but to myself. To see me or to talk to me, you would never know I'm gay. Although I believe that this is just a label, I don't believe I will ever want to come out completely. Whenever a conversation comes up at work or I attend a briefing on sexual harassment, there is always a comment about homosexuality. I blush every time this comes up. God. When I was younger, I hid my sexuality and tried to fool myself into thinking I wasn't. But of course, you know that will eat a person alive. I know it did me. So I sought counseling and paved the way for me to come out to a few close people. Anyway, I still struggle with the issue, you think? On the outside, I'm straight as ever, but on the inside, I'm gay. Do you have any suggestions to help me over this acceptance of myself? Honey, as far as Dr. Dick is concerned, you haven't even begun to come out. Sorry to be so blunt, but just identifying your sexual preference to a few individuals, coming clean, as you suggest. Hey, we're talking about being gay, not confessing to be an axe murderer, is not the moral equivalent of coming out. If you can't celebrate your sexuality, and I might add, integrate it into your whole personhood, then you're not out. Period. It is true what you say about being in the closet and getting eaten alive in there. But if you're queer on the inside, whatever that means, and straight on the outside, God forbid, then you're still a danger to yourself. This is, after all, the very definition of schizophrenia, darling. I'm going to go way out on a limb here and guess that you still have loads of shame about who you are. I encourage you to get back into counseling as soon as possible, until you resolve that. The world does not need any more fence sitters. You're either gay or you're not. You either celebrate that, and I don't mean waving a flag or parading around like a lunatic, or you don't. Like I said to Craig earlier in the program, I don't suppose any of us is ever really free from all our internalized homophobia any more than other oppressed and marginalized minorities can rid themselves of their internalized self-doubt. No one can completely escape the prejudices and biases that surround them, but most of us, and you could be one of them, make our way regardless. That's why coming out is so important, fully coming out. It empowers us. It increases our self-esteem. Honesty about our own life increases our personal integrity too. When we stop hiding or denying this important part of our life, not just on the inside, we have a greater freedom of self-expression and we become more available for happy, healthy, and honest relationships. So you see, you have a ways to go. Good luck. Well, that's it for today, sex fans. I'm so glad you could join me. Tune in next week for more Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. In the meantime, check out this week's podcast sponsor, Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library. Listen up, buckaroos. Thanks to this amazing technology, you will be able to watch your choice of smut from the comfort of your own home. With just a little prompting from you, they're going to come gushing out of your computer like nobody's business. You will find a link to this fabulous sex resource right there on the front page of drdicksexadvice.com. Look for the link that reads Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library. There's no membership fee. This is a pay-per-minute kind of deal. Remember that your pay-per-view minutes allow you to watch whatever content you want for whatever length of time you choose. Sweet, huh? Say, would you like to become a sponsor for one or more of my weekly sex advice podcasts? As you know, I plug a product or service at the beginning and end of each show, just like I did there. Each podcast has its own posting on my site along with the name of the podcast sponsor and a banner for the product or service. The beauty part about this unique opportunity is that once a podcast sponsor's ad is included in the particular podcast, that sponsor is embedded there forever. Your sponsorship also underscores your social conscience. Your marketing dollars will not only go to promote your product, but you will be doing so while helping disseminate really badly needed sex education and sexual enrichment messages. Simply put, you just can't get a better bang for your advertising buck. For more information, contact me at Dr. Dick at drdicksexadvice.com. That's dr_dick at drdicksexadvice.com. And look for Dr. Dick's podcasts on iTunes. You'll find me in the podcast section under Health, subcategory, Sexuality. Or just search for Dr. Dick's Sex Advice. And don't forget to subscribe. Until next week, remember, sex is good, and good sex is even better. Over and out.